Welcome to another exciting episode of the Street Photography Show podcast. I am your host, Mark Rossi, and tonight we will be speaking with Ryan Orabaugh. If you haven't done so already, make sure to check out the show notes below to find out more about Ryan. Welcome to the Street Photography Show podcast, Ryan. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. I'm so happy you're here to join me. We're going to talk everything and anything about street photography, right?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited. I'm stoked.
I'm going to get the basic question out of the way. How did you get into photography? And specifically, how did you get yourself into street photography?
I went to art school. And when I was at school, I had a roommate that was a photographer. And at the time, I was studying industrial design. And I did not care at all about photography. I thought it was stupid. I was like, why do I need a camera if I have a phone? I just didn't really see the point. And when I was talking to him, his work was amazing. He shot on film and was doing a lot of like street portraiture and like sort of street landscape stuff that I'd really never come into contact with. Prior to that, I had only really seen photography as like work by Ansel Adams or something like that, which is amazing. But I was sort of, in my head, was like, well, that's kind of done and over with, so I don't really know what photography's purpose is now. But anyways, we started talking, and long story short, he gave me a camera, and was just like, just go play with this. He had like an Olympus XA, like laying around that he didn't use anymore, and so he just gave it to me, and didn't tell me how to use it, didn't tell me what aperture meant, didn't tell me what the shutter speed was. He was pretty much just like, put a film in it and walk around and see what happens. I didn't even know what a rangefinder was at that time, and I just started walking around and taking photos and lying that I was a photo student so I could use our film labs, and I was just like a really fun hobby. I was living in Savannah, Georgia at the time. And so walking around the city is kind of just the way it works. Nobody was really driving around and Savannah's beautiful. So I had tons of time to walk around. And so I just started shooting on my walks to and from class. That's how I got started. I couldn't stop. It was like an itch. Like I just started shooting every day and buying as much film as I possibly could and developing all my own stuff and scanning all my own stuff. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I got started.
I found you in my group, the group that I am in, the film photography group on Facebook. And by the way, listeners, if you want to check it out, I'll include the link to the Facebook group as well. But I knew that you shoot film because that's where I found you. And I mean, are you still using that Plastics Fantastics camera there, that Olympus XA? I know which one you're talking about. That's the black one. It's the slider.
Yeah, they're the ones with the A11 flash. And it's a workhorse, man. That lens, I think it's a Zukio or something, a 35mm. It's awesome. So I still use it. I don't know. I almost sold it once, but I can't part with it. That's got sentimental value to me at this point. I don't use it as much, though. I shoot a lot more digital now. It really depends on the day for me.
If you look at the album art for the show, it's basically a portrait of me, and I'm holding up a Pentax PC5000 point and shoot, which, believe it or not, that takes pretty interesting pictures. I mean, it's not the highest end camera in the world. In fact, I think I picked it up, if memory serves me well, I think I picked it up at a thrift store for $5.
Oh, there you go.
I mean,
that's awesome.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
And I mean, it's a fun little camera to shoot. I mean, it's not my first choice. I have tons of film cameras and I also shoot digital as well. Now, you did mention you shoot more digital. So what are you using in terms of digital nowadays?
So right now I use a Nikon D800 full frame DSLR. Unfortunately, the shutter just broke as of like 2 weeks ago. It's starting to stick on me. So I'm looking to upgrade to something new. We'll see. I'm not sure what I'm going to get next.
Now, are you using that for street photography or are you still using the film camera for street photography?
So I use both, but I would say I'm 90% digital at this point, mostly on that D800. So I have that D800, and I also use a little Digicam, so like a little Nikon Coolpix. I think it's like an S6 or something. I love that. It's awesome. It's like a poor man's GR. It's really fun.
If it takes the pictures, why not? You've got the D800 that you're going to have to replace because obviously the shutter's sticking on you, so probably a good time to upgrade. And so now I'm going to ask you, what are you looking at for your next camera? Because, I mean, you know, you've been photographing on the streets. You've had the chance to do it with the Nikon D800. Perhaps as you were using the D800, you might have scratched your head. You might have done some research. You might have asked yourself, if I have to ever replace this camera, what would I move to? So now that realization is coming closer to fruition, What would you consider? Have you thought about that yet?
So I really haven't given it a whole lot of thought in any serious capacity until the last 2 weeks. So I'm also a commercial photographer. I'm kind of looking for something that can do a little bit of everything. So for work, I want something that's full frame and all that. But for street work, I want something that I don't have to think about when I'm using. Like, I've used Sonys in the past and I love them, but the menus can be a little challenging sometimes. And with the D800, like, that menu is super simple. So yeah, I'm considering a Z series Nikon or potentially biting the bullet and looking at something like a GR3.
It's a nice camera.
Yeah, I mean, they look amazing. But for that price point, I could get so much more camera with other systems. So I'm going back and forth. I've also considered getting like a GFX as well, just because of the megapixel size. And it would be a little bit of an adjustment shooting street with that massive of a file, but I'm also really interested to try it out. I mean, medium format on the street like that would be so fun, but I don't know if it would slow me down too much. So I'm going back and forth. I haven't really made a decision yet, but we'll see. We'll see where life takes me on this one.
You know, it's a learning experience. And
yeah, absolutely.
There are lots of people that will try things just to go against the grain, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, medium format on the streets isn't exactly your run-of-the-mill sort of setup, but that's all right. I mean, if that's what you want to try and you want to experiment, then why not? There's no rules in photography as far as I'm concerned. If it feels right and it looks good, and you're happy, that's all that matters. You know, I grew up in a time when rules were very, in terms of photography, in other facets of life too, but let's just stick to photography. But in photography, you know, you've always got these naysayers. Oh, you got to follow the rule of this. You got to do that. You got it. No. You don't have to do anything. Okay. And I think with the evolution of digital, that's come more into light than ever, because with digital, you can really do a lot. Like,
oh, yeah.
You don't have the same restrictions like film had. And so, you know, it's really, the canvas has been expanded, you know, tenfold. I don't believe in that anymore. I think, you know, to create art, if it takes you beyond the quote unquote rules, then so be it. I'm a proponent of that. Why not? Well, you see that all the time, especially on social media. People doing things that you would have never thought possible. I mean, there's so many creatives out there that they're just blowing your mind, you know, with their work that they're creating. Good on you. If that's what you want to do, then do it. You said you went to art school, and I'm just wondering, is there any influence as an art student? Because you are, let's be honest, you are a trained art student, correct?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I got the degree to prove it.
As a academia in art, would you say there was any carryover influence from your studies, you know, from what you learned to photographing on the streets? Would you say there was any influence?
So I got a degree in advertising. So I went to a very business-minded art school. I learned a lot going to art school, and it definitely informed how I shoot. But I got a degree in advertising. So I wasn't studying photography formally. I actually am completely self-taught in that regard. All of my education was from all my friends at school that either were in film or in photography, or that just shot film because we're all sort of trendy hipster art student people or whatever. I think it was the exposure to so much work that was really what informed me the most. I mean, we had an incredible visual library. Like I said, my roommate as well is an incredible photographer. And so he really introduced me to a lot of work. And I had an excellent community around me of just like-minded, creative individuals that, you know, everybody just pushed each other to make work. And everybody was so supportive. I mean, I remember I would just walk up to photo professors at school and be like, hey, like, I'm doing this thing. What do you think? Or, for example, me learning studio photography was me just assisting photo students' sets, or I would be, quote unquote, the art director for the set, and then the photographer would leave and I would just do the shoot, you know, as like a workaround or whatever. So I got so many opportunities to play and learn. And that was really what got me jump-started in, I guess, learning the ins and outs without having to get the quote unquote formal degree. I don't know where I would have learned studio photography if I hadn't have been at art school and had the access. I think it really just gave me access is the big thing. Access to materials, access to other photographers, access to photo books. I mean, you name it. I mean, that's really, that was so helpful to me. But in terms of street photography specifically, I didn't really come into contact with that at school so much. My roommate was a street photographer, but in like the formal education stuff, I really wasn't looking at street photography so much. My roommate Liam just happened to be a street photographer, and he would talk to me about it, and I would see his street portraits, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't know you could do that. I guess I'll give it a shot. And so I sort of stumbled into it between him showing me his work and me just walking around the city all the time and taking pictures of what was in front of me. I was sort of stumbling into street photography just by being in a city with a camera.
And you were doing it with a film camera first, which is kind of strange when you think about it, right?
I know, it's a little backwards.
It's backwards for most now, not for maybe like a guy like me, but I mean, that's fantastic because, you know, you actually started with a film camera and that's really cool.
I mean, I loved it because for me, I mean, I always said this to like my friends, I'm like, oh, you got to get into film because it's like Christmas. Like every time you get your scans back, I'm like, oh, this is so exciting. Like, and this is before I was really editing anything either at the beginning. It was just, I was shooting stuff and then, you know, scanning it. And that was kind of it. No color correction outside of like the scanner preferences. But I wasn't even doing anything in Lightroom or anything at that point.
So besides the inspiration that you got when you were in art school, you know, surrounded by like-minded individuals, creatives, such as your friend Liam, apart from that, would you say that when you started scratching the surface, you know, in this newfound art, this newfound media that you were experiencing and discovering, you know, you mentioned photo books, right? Like, what are some of the books that you read? And did you go on to YouTube and start watching videos on street photography? And because you were starting with film, did you look up information regarding film photography, or was that not even in the picture? You were just, you know, focused on street photography. I'm just trying to understand how that whole mindset worked, you know, how your mind was working when you were discovering all these things, right? Because I'm assuming you were discovering all these things at the same time.
Yeah, so a bit of a long-winded answer on this one. So at the very beginning, like I said, I was getting a degree in advertising. But before that, when I just started, I was studying industrial design, so like designing product. And so that was a lot of drafting and 3D modeling. And so photography for me was completely removed from my studies. And so when I first started, I wasn't looking at anything. I was just shooting, and it was purely a fun snapshot kind of thing. But as I started to get more and more interested, I started to look at the history. I think I initially started, as I think most people in my sort of film photo age bracket, were going to like the Willem Verbeeks of the world, the Joe Greers of the world. And I mean, I watched every single video that Willem Verbeek has ever produced when I was first getting started, because he had so much content on how to shoot, what different film stocks look like, how to shoot at night, things like that, that I had, especially all of this is on film, right? And it was not just gear. I don't really care so much about gear, just as a thing. For me, for the most part, and I'm going to have a huge asterisk on this, but for the most part, I think all cameras do the same thing. It's all a box that contains and captures light. And so I was just sort of like trying to expand from, okay, you know, what's the next lens I can buy, to how does this push like what I'm trying to say, and how do I craft an aesthetic? And I will say that that was an art school kind of viewpoint, where everything was about aesthetic and voice and conveying a story. And so I wanted to do the same thing with photography. So I tried very hard to not get wrapped up in gear. I mean, when I first started shooting film, I was buying expired film because it was what I could afford. And I didn't care what it was, black and white, Kodak, Fuji, Lomography, whatever. It was just whatever I could get my hands on.
Right.
Now I'm a little more choosy. But at the time, I was just looking at aesthetics. And so when I moved to photo books, I found Magnum pretty quickly. And they were like my heroes. And they are. I mean, these people are incredible. But I mean, I was looking at Bruce Gilden was one that I found first or early on. Alex Soth was one of the first ones I had stumbled across just in general in photography.
I have a lot of respect for Bruce.
Bruce is amazing. And it's funny, I love his earlier work so much.
But you know why he's got such amazing work?
I mean, he's just shot forever.
Well, because he's got guts.
He does have guts. And I am so introverted compared to him. And looking at, which is why I was drawn to Willem Verbeek at first. And like in work like that, where it's more atmospheric. Especially like that's, I got into Alex Soth for similar reasons. Like Sleeping by the Mississippi, that kind of work where it's these large landscapes mixed with intimate portraiture kind of thing. That's where I started and where I wanted to go at first. And then I moved to Bruce Gilden. Bruce Gilden got brought me to Alex Webb. Alex Webb is like one of my biggest inspirations, period. The way that he can fill a frame so expertly with that many things going on, but nothing feels out of place. I strive for that level of clarity in composition. I just thought his work was incredible. And then from there, I moved on to people like Andre Wagner, which is more of like, you know, a New York street approach to things, black and white, documenting a particular community. And I thought that was amazing. And I just love how intimate his work is. For something that can be so in the moment, it's so authentic. And that was something that I was chasing for a while. And then I'm still chasing now. But I mean, really, I think I was looking through a keyhole initially when it comes to photography. Like I said, when I first thought of photography, I only really thought of, well, like Ansel Adams. He was the only photographer I knew at all when I first got started. And so to see this entire history of street photography sort of unfolding in front of me the more I was looking, I mean, it was sort of like drinking through a fire hose at the beginning. I was like, man, there's so much to look at. I don't even know where to start. And yeah, that's where I started. And then from there, I mean, it's only grown. I mean, Alex Soth has such a massive body of work. Bruce Gilden has such a massive body of work. Alex Webb, you know, so I was just looking at these people and their work and who they knew and their contemporaries, and you know, Joel Marowitz, Winogrand, Elliot Erwitt, etc. And yeah, I mean, I looked at all the greats for sure.
Yeah, those are certainly heavy hitters that you're mentioning. How long has it been now that you've been shooting?
I've been shooting for about 5 years.
So it's a bit, okay, so it's 5 years now that you've been shooting, you know, digital, film, you know, so you're doing both of it, right? Mm-hmm. First you start with film, which is really cool, by the way. Have a lot of respect for you.
Well, thank you.
I love it when I hear guys, you know, younger guys, because you are younger than me, but I love it when I hear younger guys starting out with film. That's like,
yeah,
that is the way to do it. I mean, I'm being biased. I mean, you really struck a chord with me, because I just have a lot of respect for people.
Bias is okay between
friends. Yeah, and that's fine, right? But I'm being honest. I like it when the younger photographers start with film, because you're really learning, in my opinion.
I mean, when you shoot a blank roll for the first time, that's a humbling experience.
Right, because you don't know what the heck you're going to get back, and never having done it before is kind of scary.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But kind of exciting, too.
Oh, that was the best part. If 5 frames were blank, I mean, I wasn't like, damn, I just blew a bunch of money. I was like, well, whatever. At least I got, you know, 31 left or something.
Right, and you probably asked yourself, what went wrong, and what could I do to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Yeah, I mean, or if something was underexposed or overexposed or out of focus. I mean, you have no idea how many times I've missed focus on that XA rangefinder.
Yeah, but see, it taught you skills, right? It taught you necessary skills that when you went to digital, you would think, well, you know, you were probably thinking, oh, well, this is a piece of cake if I can shoot on a film camera.
Well, I mean, I'll do you one better. I shoot on manual lenses for the most part for street. I zone focus on a 24 mil.
The wider, the better.
That's my bread and butter right now.
Can't really zone focus when you go higher. Like when you go more telephoto, no, you can't really do it. So
no, at least I can't. I'm sure somebody can, but no. I mean, I shot on a 50 for a while, but no, I shoot 28 now. Zone focus everything.
And that's the way to go. And, you know, zone focusing is faster than even, you know, it's faster than digital focus. Like the new cameras, the autofocus, you can't beat zone focus because there is no focus. You just put the camera up to your eye and it's like a pointing shoot and boom, it just goes, right?
I'm guessing. Like I've been doing it long enough that I would hope that I kind of know where I'm at this point. But like I'm guessing for the most part, especially if I'm shooting at 2.8. Like I know where my 6 foot, 7 foot mark is. But like outside of that, like it really depends on the situation.
That's great to know, because I mean, when you started off, you've been photographing for 5 years, you've already, you know, you've mentioned things like zone focusing, which is very impressive. When you started photographing on the streets, what kind of process did you go through to teach yourself?
By trial and error, I figured out that the Olympus XA is a rangefinder, because I did not know that at first. Because my roommate Liam, he didn't tell me. He was just like, here, like, go play with this. So I figured all cameras work the same. I thought I was looking through the lens. Silly me, obviously. Once I finally figured out that it was a rangefinder, figured out that you could zone focus, I basically just guessed. On the XA specifically, it's got the aperture priority that has like an orange aperture at 5.6 and like an orange 8 feet on it, which basically means that when you have it at 5.6 at 8 feet, everything is in focus. So once I figured that out, I just started playing with that a little bit more. And then I started using the rangefinder patch, and then I got better and better and started to train my eye as I kept shooting. And I mean, it was really just trial and error. I wasn't like sitting, you know, lining up cups or getting measuring tape out. You know, I've heard people that will mark off 10, 6, whatever feet and just do that over and over again. I wasn't really doing that as much. I was just shooting in the street all the time. Like I was shooting every day at the beginning for like hours at a time.
You learned like a lot of people learn. You just did it.
I just did it. There was no, I mean, it was me and YouTube. That was it. It was me and YouTube.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. And you shot a lot, right? You would watch YouTube. You'd take the pointers or the tricks that you learned off of YouTube, and then you would go try it. I mean, that's the way I think a lot of people do it now. I mean, YouTube is, you know, it's a wealth of information. You can't beat it for that.
Yeah, I mean, you can learn anything. And I mean, I just started, you know, with the basics and went from there and just started shooting all the time. So I was able to sort of train my eye a little faster of what I wanted to shoot. I guess from the beginning and to now, I was never focused on the technical stuff. It was mostly the aesthetics. How does it look? How does it make me feel? Okay, it's not in focus, but like, is it a good image regardless? Etc. And that was sort of where I started. And I think now that I'm more picky, more particular on what I'm looking for, now I care a little bit more about the camera system, for example, or maybe the aperture. Like at the beginning, I didn't care at all what the depth of field was. But now, you know, like I'm looking for a particular thing. So I think I'm just pickier. I know what I want more than I did at the beginning. But I think I was freer at the beginning because I didn't have as much outside influence. I didn't know anything. And so everything I was creating was 100% me. And now I think that now that I'm looking at so much work with the, you know, social media, all that stuff, I think I can oftentimes feel very influenced by everybody else's work, books, etc. And I think a lot of times on the street, I get in my own head about, am I being derivative shooting it like this? Or am I doing this or that? And so I try to have to push that out of my memory or out of my head a lot when I'm shooting, because, you know, at the end of the day, A, it's supposed to be fun, but B, if I'm in my head, I'm not shooting in that flow state. I'm shooting thinking, oh man, does this feel too much like Meyerowitz? And like, that's not what I'm trying to do.
Are you getting better at photographing people, or do you still have problems approaching people?
I'm going to say I've ebbed and flowed on this one. When I was, you know, about 2 years in, I started doing street portraits in Savannah, and Savannah as a city is very friendly, lots of tourists, all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's a big art school there as well. And so people are used to seeing people walk around with cameras and all that kind of stuff. And so I felt a little gutsier at that point to walk up to people and take their photos. And at the beginning, actually, I had people walk up to me. It was really weird. I actually started a project kind of like Humans of New York, but it was like in Savannah. And it was just people that would walk up to me and start these like really interesting conversations, and I would take their photo at the end.
Were they walking up to you because they saw you walking around with a Bronica? Because I see that on your feed, you got a Bronica, and it looks like it's a Bronica. It looks like it's a Bronica ETR.
Yeah, I had a Bronica ETRC for a little bit that I was shooting on. I think I had one or two people that were like, oh, what is that? And we'd start talking. But no, actually, when I was shooting digital, I had a D3500 for a while. So, you know, like very basic starter digital camera. And it didn't really matter what I was shooting. People would just walk up to me about all kinds of stuff. You know, one guy asked me about video production, you know, because he was starting like a clothing brand. But then I had another guy that was walking up to me that just asked me to take his photo like on his phone for in front of like this fountain at like this really big park in Savannah. And we struck up a conversation, and we're friends to this day. I ended up hanging out for the rest of the day, took his portrait. That portrait got published in a magazine, actually, along with some other work of mine. And yeah, so just all kinds of random interactions were happening to me. And once it started happening to me, then I got more confident about doing it the other way around. And so then I started, you know, taking street portraits. And then I got back to Atlanta, which is where my family was living at the time. And so then I was shooting there, and it wasn't as open. People were a little more to themselves, especially in the city. And so I had to get a little ballsier about walking up to people and making portraits. So it really depends on the city I was shooting in. I live in Dallas now, and so people are, it depends on the area, on how open they are.
Don't you have to be careful in Dallas? Because as I understand, don't they... You got a bunch of cowboys down there that like to wear guns on their hips.
A little bit. No. It's not so much like that, at least not in downtown.
I feel pretty intimidated if I went up to a guy that had a gun on his hip and...
No, it's not. It's not like that. You know, in the stockyards and stuff, I have shot rodeos and I shot the fair and there were definitely cowboys around, but they're also, you know, it sounds so cliche, but it's true. You just got to smile and be like, hey, like, you look cool, or, oh man, I love your hat, or what, you know, for cowboys or whatever.
Or, I'm scared of your gun, don't shoot me, but can I take your photo?
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's a nice looking six shooter you got there. Don't use it on me.
Yeah, I shoot too, by the way, but not that.
Yeah, we're shooting different things. But I think it's all about intention. I think when you're in like a weird headspace or like you're trying to be sneaky, people know.
Yeah.
Like they know, they're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
But if you're being like a regular person, you know, like just trying to be like a cool about it, it's not such a big deal. I mean, that being said, I shoot from the hip all the time. So like, I mean, I can pretend like I'm, you know, being really aggressive, but I'm not.
Do you like the ones that you took when you were in stealth mode, or do you like the ones that you were more upfront about and, you know, you might have asked for their permission or you might have smiled? Like, have you ever made that distinction?
I don't think I really have a preference. I guess it really depends on how the photo turns out, because I've taken photos from the hip that I was like, wow, that was awesome. You know, I never would have gotten that if I lifted it up to the viewfinder because maybe the angle was different, or because when I'm shooting from the hip, I'm shooting, you know, a good foot and a half lower than if I bring it up to my eye generally. So there's a different perspective. And I think it really depends on the situation, because I've taken street portraits that suck.
Oh, we've all done that.
Yeah. And I've taken work from the hip that's like, holy shit, I didn't think I could do that. So I think it really depends on the situation. And like I said, I'm a pretty introverted person. And so I shoot from the hip a lot just because I just don't want to be a bother to somebody. I don't want to upset someone. So I think it really depends on the situation. On the complete flip side, I've also shot flash at night, and that's a whole other thing. And that's really fun, but I just have to be in the right headspace. I think it really boils down to my personal frame of mind when I'm shooting. If I'm feeling a little maybe more anxious that day, I'll shoot from the hip a lot more and I'll be more reserved. But if I'm feeling, I don't know, if I'm feeling more outgoing that day, I'll talk to people while I shoot. I'll smile. I'll say, man, you look great. Or, you know, I'm taking your picture, or we'll have a conversation. And it really depends on the day. I've definitely had my extroverted moments and taken all kinds of street portraits and, you know, shot groups of people and all kinds of stuff like that in the streets.
You know, you've been photographing now for 5 years. And as you go on in your photographic journey, you'll learn things too. And I've learned quite a few things over my journey. One thing that I have found that works relatively well is, especially if I'm using, and this is when I'm using a film camera, I'll actually photograph a person and I don't run away when they make eye contact with me. Rather, what I do is I'll approach them and I tell them, listen, I just took your photograph on a film camera. If you're interested, I can email you the scan if you give me your email. And then their eyes light up. It's like, oh my gosh, cool. And then they start talking about, you know, the camera and, you know, my work. And a lot of people don't know what a film camera looks like nowadays. So it's kind of a cool little trick that I've learned. If you could take a photo walk with one photographer, and you rhymed off a whole bunch of names early in our discussion, if you could go out on a photo walk with one of those photographers you rhymed off, who would it be and why?
Oh man, that's tough.
I know it's tough. That's why I asked it.
That's tough. Okay. Let me think for a second. If I could shoot with anybody, I think I would shoot with Alex Webb, just because I want to see how he works. And I want to see how he's composing so many elements in one frame and make it look so cohesive. And his work is so intimate, and everything about his work just speaks to me. The colors, the lighting, subject matter, the way he's interacting with his subjects. I mean, just to be able to be in the same, to breathe the same air as somebody like that, who's making work that is so, evokes such emotion to me. I mean, I would love that.
Would you say that you try to emulate his work through your photography?
I try to emulate the composition. I think the way that he's framing subjects is something that I draw heavily from. It's a lot of, I mean, especially the way he uses light and shadow to silhouette someone, but illuminate someone else, or to frame a particular subject with the light shadow, maybe reflection of something else. I would just love to see how he does that. And I do apply that to my own work and then try to see, okay, how can I frame my subject differently, or how can I maybe layer this differently? differently, or how can I use this reflection or this patch of light and fit something in there? Not to say that I'm just going to fit a person into a patch of light and call it good, because I think that I'm just not interested in just a random person. Sometimes that works and that's great, but I think that a lot of times I'm looking for a particular person, or I'm looking for that, you know, stars aligning kind of image where it's the right person in the right light, you know, and on the right background or the right foreground information coming together all at once. And I think that's really what I draw inspiration from him, is just that there is this, it all works. It's not like, oh, the light is great. It's, oh, the light is great and the subject's amazing and it's all color coordinated. It's the whole scene. And I think that looking at Webb, he makes me think holistically. Whereas maybe before looking at his work, I wasn't looking at the color theory of the image. I might just be looking at, oh, I don't know, that's an interesting looking person. Or, oh, I like the texture on that building. I'm going to take a picture of it. But seeing Webb's work, I'm like, oh, this is a great texture with excellent color or whatever. So I'm really trying to look at scenes holistically now.
I'm looking at your Instagram feed here. And the film shots, I mean, I can tell they're film. I just, you know, you can tell they're film shots. You hardly ever mention the film that you use and the camera. Is there a reason for that? A lot of photographers will actually include that information in their post, but you don't. I mean, I'm wondering if there's a reason for it or not, maybe.
There's not really much of a reason. I frankly don't care, I guess is the best way to be blunt. I think that, you know, some people are really interested in the stock and the lens and the camera, and that's never been a huge thing for me for the most part.
Oh man, now we're really friends.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've shot on Holgas and I've shot on Leicas.
And you've shot on Olympus XAs.
Yeah. Yeah, I've shot a ton of cameras on a ton of different film stocks, and I mean, I love all of them, but for the most part, it doesn't matter so much to me, at least in keeping it in the caption. Now, what I will keep in the caption is that film lab, Dunwoody Photo. I'm going to shout them out really quick. Dunwoody Photo has done so much for me. I worked there for about a year, and they taught me so much about film. I mean, they gave me access to cameras. They let me borrow that Bronica ETRC. I used it for I think 2 years.
I have a Bronica, by the way. I have a Bronica ETRSI. Yeah, it's a 645 format. I also have a Bronica S2A.
6.6?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've only shot 6.45, at least on the Bronica. I shot a Hasselblad, whatever their 500cm or something. I use that once or twice. But I think for the most part, I just want the image to stand on its own. That's really what I'm looking for the most part. I don't really include anything else. I think every once in a while, I'll throw something in there, like if it's relevant. But for the most part, it's just the image. And I'll shout out Dunwoody Photo just because, well, A, they develop all my film. But B, I mean, they've done so much for me personally. I mean, I've worked with them. I consider all the people their family. And so they're awesome. So any chance I can get to shout them out, I'm going to do that. I mean, I also scan my own work there as well. So that's about the only thing I'll include. That or Atlanta Film Company, which is a film company that I also work with. I'll include them in there sometimes because I'm their graphic designer. So I want to shout them out.
What's your opinion, color and black and white? What's your opinion on the two?
I would argue that I am a color guy all the way until I shoot a roll of black and white again. And then I'm like, damn, I should just shoot monochrome for the rest of my life. So it really depends on the situation. I'm a color guy through and through. Pro Image 100 or like Ektar, or I'll do a Portra 800 every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm actually quite fond of, believe it or not, I'm actually quite fond of Lomography 400.
Oh, I adore all of everything Lomography has produced. I am interested in. They're 100, they're 400, they're 800. I think it's all great, especially in medium format. I like their 120 Loma 100 a lot, actually.
Yeah, they do have some really nice 120. In fact, I have some Lomo 400 in 120.
Oh, it's awesome. But I think it really depends on the scene. I mean, especially now that I shoot so much digital, I will go back and forth on black and white. I'll make two edits and then go from there on which one I would rather use. So it really depends on the scene. I think black and white is so emotional, and color is emotional in its own way. But black and white, I mean, it's just, there's something about it, man. Especially the way I like black and white is black and white. I don't love a lot of gray. I just want it to be super, super super contrasty, and I just love how, I guess aggressive is the wrong word, but I'm gonna say aggressive. I just love how sort of stark. Let's go with stark. I love how stark it looks. And I'm really inspired by Alex Soth's songbook project and that look for black and white, where it's super contrasty, flash, really harsh flash kind of look. And so when I do shoot black and white, I generally will shoot it with off-camera flash, just because I love that sort of news press photo look to my work. But it really depends on the situation and how I'm feeling that day.
Yeah. I mean, for me, black and white. So, I mean, I've shot a lot of black and white in my life, and I love black and white to this day. I love black and white. I like color too. And I do like color, but going back to the black and white, I have shot a lot of black and white. And you know what I found? I have found that because now we can scan our work, and that's what I do. Sometimes I develop because I can develop, but if I don't have time, I just bring it to a lab that I work with quite a bit. And, you know, he'll do the development for me, and then I will take the negatives back or the positives, and I scan them into my computer. I have a scanner here that I use at home, and I can work with the images as I wish. I can do whatever I want when I get them into Lightroom and Photoshop. And I predominantly work with my film in Lightroom, predominantly. 90% of my work is in Lightroom. But I have found that I'm not really fussy on the stock when it comes to black and white, and I'll tell you why. Because I can do whatever I want with it when I get it into the computer. Yeah. So it makes no difference to me. So where I'm going with this is, you know, film prices are going up and up and up, right? We all know that. But the nice thing about black and white is I can go onto B&H's website. I can buy a roll. And when I say a roll, I mean a bulk roll of a film like Kentmere or Foamapan, the cheaper stuff. I can bulk roll that into my own canisters. I have like a big box of canisters that I pop open.
Oh, you're the real deal. That's awesome, man. That's so cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's what I do. And I actually spool them up myself. I have a loader and everything. And I save lots of money. But do I care if I'm not shooting Kodak, Tri-X 400 anymore? No, because I can get great results if I just tweak in post-production. And I am so over that. Oh, it's got to be, you know, Neopan. It's got to be this Tri-X. It's got to be the... No. I just... Whatever the cheapest black and white stock available is at that time that I go online and I want to buy some film, that's the one I buy. Because I don't care. Once I get it into my computer, I can do whatever the hell I want with it. Just a little thing that I want to throw out there for yourself and maybe even the listeners. Like, I wouldn't be so hung up on the stock if you're going to be putting it into your computer and you don't really care about, you know, the images looking true to what the stock intended. Because I don't really care. I'm not about that. I'm about the presentation of my work. And if I want to tweak my settings and I want to change the blacks and I want to change the mids or the highs or whatever, you know, I want to give it more structure, make it look more like high key. I don't care about the stock because it's irrelevant when I get it into post.
Yeah, I think it depends for me. So I'm also a commercial photographer, and a lot of that work is very clean, you know, whatever the client is looking for. And so when I shoot film, I want it to look like film, and I want it to be grainy, and I'm okay with a little underexposure. I'm okay with a little dust. I don't clean up my negatives at all. Well, a little bit, but like I'm not going to go in and I'll clean them when I scan them, but I don't clean them in post. That's what I'll say. I'm okay with a little editing on my black and white, but it depends, I guess. Like if I'm going to shoot FP4, I want it to look like FP4. And if I'm going to shoot, it depends. Like if I'm shooting Delta, like Delta's a little bit more washed out. And so I don't...
Yeah, see, okay, Delta as a stock is washed out. And I would say even so is Kentmere 400, because I shoot a lot of Kentmere 400 and it's dirt cheap. Yeah. And it is a really washed out black and white film. But you get Kentmere 400 in Adobe.
Oh yeah, and it's going to look like FP4 in no time. Yeah.
You can do whatever the hell you want with it, right? And this is the only reason why I'll buy, you know, Kentmere 400 or, you know, stocks that are really cheap like that, because I can take them where I want once I get them into the computer. And it's fine. Like if you want the original looking stock, hey, by all means.
I mean, it depends on what I'm... I mean, it depends on how bad I messed up the roll, on how much I'm going to do to it. And on most 400 film stocks, I'll shoot it at 800. And then I actually won't adjust in dev time. Like I'll just shoot it at 800 and then develop it at 400 and leave it like that, just because I like the contrast.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is the contrast you're after.
Yeah, that's how I shoot all my HP5. 5. If I'm going to shoot HP 5, that's how I'll shoot it.
Which HP 5, I mean, HP 5 is a legendary stock. It is a good stock.
I love HP 5 to death. It is a workhorse.
Yeah, a lot of people love it. A lot of people love HP 5. I mean, it's right up there with Tri-X.
Yeah. I've actually never shot Tri-X. never shot it.
It's the holy grail, let's say, of black and white films. I mean, most of those guys that you mentioned earlier on back in the early days, guess what film they shot on? Tri-X 400, right? That's a lot of Tri-X 400. I mean, it's obviously got legacy behind it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a beautiful looking stock. I guess I never thought to pick it up.
The other thing with black and white film is too, it even depends on developers, right? You can use you can use your Kodak D76, mm-hmm. you can use the finer stuff like the HC110s. You can use a variety of developers out there, and those two will give it a certain look. You can use Rodinal. I mean, Rodinal on Tri-X 400, man, talk about grain. I've tried it. It's super easy to do, very easy to do. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool. Like, if you want to develop it in a certain way, well, then okay, yeah. Well, I want to try to pair it up with this developer, and you get a certain look. You know, you need to get the certain stock, right? And pair it up with the so-called developer that you want to experiment with. And I mean, that's cool. So Ryan, where can our listeners go and see your work?
So you can check out my work at RyanOrbaugh_. So it's RyanOrbaugh_. And that's me on Instagram. And then RyanOrbaugh.com. That's my website. So, you know, I've got work on both. My Instagram is a little bit more up to date, at least streetwise. So I think, you know, check that stuff out. And then my website's got like my commercial work and street work and everything in between on it.
And we'll have those links in the show notes below so our listeners can easily find you. Well, Ryan, listen, thanks so much for joining me here on the Street Photography Show podcast. It's been a blast. I really appreciate you coming on and talking with me and letting our listeners into your world and better understand how you tick and your work. And listeners, go check out his work. Like I said, the links are going to be in the show notes below. Check him out. Give him a ring ding if you have any questions. Ryan, again, thanks again for coming on the show, man.
Thank you so much. I mean, I had a blast. This is so cool. I'm honored. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to follow and highly rate the show, as it allows me to continue creating more content for you, my awesome listeners. Also, don't forget to join us next week as new episodes are added on Fridays. Until next time, keep walking and keep clicking. This is Mark Rossi. Bye for now.